Sit down, would you? Oh my goodness. I'm sure there was over-unders on how soon I would cry. I don't know if immediately it was even on the table, though. We were in the back before the service started, you know, and we had our program team together, and we're praying, and, you know, I'm like calling down fire from glory, and I'm all fired up, and Chris starts crying. I'm like, man, what's he crying for, you know? Well, he's up here leading worship, and I'm over there crying like a baby. Oh, what an incredible time. Welcome to the Well. We're so glad you're here. This is a dawning of a new era for us. This is our State of the Church address, our grand opening in our new North Campus, and it has been an incredible ride. And so I want to just give you a forecast of what you're going to experience tonight and hopefully give you a picture of what's going to happen in the weeks and months to come. And while we're doing that, if there's any seats, if you can believe it, we need you to scoot to the center. There's 647 chairs out there. I set up all of them with Jared the other day, so we know how many. If you could scoot, that'd be awesome. There's 28 of you over there. Glad you're there. And we've got folding chairs we've pulled out. We knew we'd be packed tonight, so don't worry. We gave your kids, when they checked into their room, a padded suit. So they're just going to bounce around with each other for a while, and they'll be fine. State of the Church for us is an opportunity to together say this is where we're going this year. And in the midst of this season, I think it'll be important for us to capture where we've been. And so let me just identify the elephant in the room for a lot of you. There's a lot of construction that's been done. When we had our vision tours here and we were talking with the folks from CBC and we were telling them all the things we wanted to do and all of you thought we were crazy, we want to show you how much got done in a short amount of time. What we did, because we could talk construction terms, which I didn't know anything about early on, but if you need some electrical work, give me a call because apparently I can fix it. And we didn't know how to really equate what we did, and so we talked to our folks at Habitat for Humanity, our friends there, and said, we want to know what is the sort of equivalent of what it takes to build a house, and we figured we all speak this language, right? You all have played Monopoly before, right? So here, let me just show you what's happened. Like, for example, in a typical home, there's 10 doors. And so in this facility, we hung one house worth of doors. We actually did 10. Sheetrock, there's typically 130 pieces of sheetrock, which is all this stuff on the walls here. We did 300 of them, which is like 2.5 houses, okay? Nails, typical house uses 50 pounds of those big boy nails. We used 150 pounds, so 3 houses worth of nails, right? Lemonade, which is a key for any construction site. Where's John Hofer, by the way? Where are you, John? Stand up, Hofer. Where is he? He's in the sound booth. That guy right there in the sound booth himself made 120 gallons of lemonade. Can you believe it? In the typical home, you use about 275 2x4s. We used 820 of them. Including 300 2x6s for enough lumber to build 3 homes, okay? Electrical outlets. In a typical home, there's about 60. We used 180, so we got 3 homes. Wire. This is big. Typical home uses 2,000 square feet of wire, 2,000 feet of wire. We used 8,000 feet of wire, and in this kind of context, you have to encase it all in conduit, so we ran 8,000 feet of wires for the total of 4 homes. Circuit breakers, 7 circuit breakers in a home. We use 38, so there's 5.5 homes. Baseboard, 300 feet of baseboard. We ran 1,500 feet of baseboard for a total of 5.5 homes. Paint, this is where it starts getting good. A typical house, 50 gallons of paint. I think we used a lot more than that on just the ceiling. We used 360 gallons of paint for a total of 6.5 homes. Flooring, okay? Flooring, this is where it gets to be a little bit absurd. Typical home, about 1,200 square feet of flooring. We used 17,000 square feet of flooring for a total of 14.5 houses, or if you're really good at Monopoly, 2¾ worth of hotels. In the process, you know, if you've ever done construction, it always makes much more of a mess than you would expect, and so we had the privilege of dealing with a lot of trash. In fact, 15 tons of trash removed from this facility. So I think some of you donated a couple couches and stuff to the trash bin. We'll just leave that alone, all right? We dug a trench, okay? The trench is special. The trench goes from the soundboard right up here. It's a 70-foot-long trench, about 18 inches wide and about 2 feet deep. On July 3rd, we figured out we got to do this trench, and so we called a concrete contractor and said, hey, we need to do this trench. We'd like to get it inspected after 4th of July and have you pour the concrete. And he's like, hey, why don't you finish and then call me? Meaning there's no way you're going to get it done because it's the 4th of July holiday. We did that trench in 48 hours. 1,000 man or woman hours worth of work went into that trench. If you were here, there was like 30 or 40 people along the trench. It looked like a chain gang getting that thing done. 48 hours. Cat 5 cable, which is internet cable, okay? We just ran 22,000 feet. You're like, well, how far is that? How about that's over 4 miles? Over 4 miles of that stinking cable, you know? But we ran it. Worked with the city of Fresno. They were fantastic. We pulled 3 permits. And in the process of the project, had 17 inspections, which inspection day was always interesting. Guys would have tool belts loaded up to fix whatever they pointed out, you know. We had code words, the pizza is here, I repeat, the pizza is here, you know, and panic, you know, everybody's like getting ready for the inspector, you know. Here's where it gets really exciting for me. Typical home, according to Habitat, it says they use about 2,500 hours worth of volunteer hours, okay. We had 10,000 volunteer hours, all right? That's the equivalent of 4 homes. Now, you say, well, that's not that big a deal, right? The duration of a home in Habitat takes about 16 weeks because they come out on Saturdays. We had folks donate 10,000 man or woman hours worth of volunteer hours in a matter of 7 weeks. It is unbelievable. Here's what fires me up. Here's how we did it. People, all the contractors would come in, they're like, there's no way you can pull this off, it's impossible, it's this and that. And I love the little smirk Tim Getz has, who's our project and missional director here. He just kind of smirk at him and nod, because he knew he'd just keep throwing hours at it and hours at it. You want to know how we did it? I'll show you how. If you served in any capacity, if you brought food, painted, hung baseboard, sheetrock, cleaned trash, if you volunteered to bring lunches or whatever, would you just stand up real quick? That's how you get it done right there. So, needless to say, we're absolutely ecstatic about this place. But as we've said from the beginning, the church is not a building. The church is the people. So the question then becomes, now that this place is up and like the Death Star, fully operational, what's next? Let me do this. Before I get into projections, let's reflect just a little bit on what we've seen this last year. This last year has been a year of firsts for us. If this is new for you, if you're new to the things of the well, let me explain to you why we do what we do. If you focus on everything, then you focus on nothing. And so we're very clear to say this is what we're going to focus on this year. So a year ago, we were down at Warner's Theater. We had, about 1,000 people down there, and we set some direction and said these are the things we want to do really well. So let me give you just a picture of some of the things that happened. Regarding connection, here's some of the things that happened. 350 people filled out info cards this last year. That's guests that are among us. Out of that, there was about 12 folks who wanted to put their faith in Christ. That's just from the info cards. That's not even counting the most important evangelism that happens in our church, which is you and your buddy sitting around a coffee shop somewhere talking about the things of God. There was over 800 people who wanted to find a place of ministry that connected to our ministry link ministry and got connected. Those people experienced on-ramps and off-ramps. In fact, many of you in here have gone through that process and found a place to serve. We think that is fantastic. But also, we had a lot going on in the community ministry. One of the things that we did this year that we've never been able to do before is we threw 2 full-time staff people at the area of community. We've always kind of had people wearing multiple hats. Well, we finally were able to commission Jared Rumley as the point person and Lacey Lehman to come alongside him. And so we had 2 folks full-time working just on groups, which is one of the key things we do. There was 65 groups this year. Over 600 people were in small groups. In fact, in our survey, it said over 60% of the people in our church had experienced some sort of spiritual forming relationship because of some sort of life group context, which is really exciting. So we had great success in that area. In the equipping area, one of the things we've done this year, this past year that was unique for us, is we launched our residency program, of course, which was, I think, year 3. But we began to really think about how we train in this church. How do we create leaders and help leaders grow? Many of you are gifted leaders. One of the things that happens is you come to a place like this and you feel like you hit a ceiling. And so we said, how can we lift that ceiling off of what's happening? And so I'll show you here in a little bit some of the answers to that. But that was the equipping area. And then regarding the mission side, We hired Tim shortly before we launched into this building project. And so Tim, we said, great, why don't you come and be our missional director? By the way, bring your tool belt and you'll kind of get whipped to death for 7 weeks, which would be awesome. But many of you saw the trailer that's in the back there. That's our missional trailer. We purchased that so we can take all the tools we use for this thing, which, by the way, were purchased beforehand to go in that trailer, to go out into the Target neighborhood and help folks there, anybody who's in need, to just go and remodel homes if they need it, to help folks that can't afford to fix leaky roofs or whatever. That's what Tim's going to be focused on. So we made that move right before we bought this place. In that, our Target neighborhood ministry missionally is prepared for expansion like never before. And I'll share some of that here in a minute. It's been exciting, too. We're finally getting enough legwork out of our Target neighborhood ministry over the years to see test scores begin to increase, which when we went to the school at Susan B., that was the goal. We want to help these students grow in the area of literacy, in the area of math, things of that nature. And our tutors have gone in there, our mentors have gone in there. Artie Padilla and his team have done a phenomenal job. We're actually seeing a difference in the local schools from our people going. Are they sharing the gospel? Maybe on the weekends, yeah, I don't know. But more importantly to me, they're actually investing and showing Christ to these kids' lives. And we think that is fantastic because that's the greatest ministry tool we could have, is investing in their life, because now the gospel becomes totally 3D for them as they see that we care enough about them. So that's missionally. Nationally, we sent 13 folks to New Orleans again, which was awesome. And then globally, we had almost 50 people go to Laos, Romania, and Honduras to do some mission work. So that's missional stuff. Now, demographically, we're doing a lot of interesting things demographically that we've never really done before. Like, for example, the average age of our church is 24. Still 24. Which, as we've said for years, is a ton of fun and no budget. I love every second of it. And I wouldn't trade it for the world, to be honest with you, because we've got a group of people that are just servant-hearted people. But this is what gets really interesting. 75% of our church is under the age of 30. I mean, that's unheard of. You can't find this kind of thing very many places. I mean, God is just doing a unique thing in this place. The number one demographic that's growing in our church right now is 24 to 29-year-olds, which, by the way, if you're married and you don't have kids yet, you better look out, because Galen, our Kids Connection Director's husband, was counting at the 5 o'clock service last weekend. At our 5 o'clock service alone, he counted 22 pregnancies. I mean, that's like she's clearly pregnant, because you don't ever want to mess up on that one, right? Pregnant. 22. So there's a lot of kids coming. But here's what's interesting. This demographic is actually tied with another demographic in our church that is the fastest growing group of people in our church. 50 plus. How about that? See, I can see right now the 7 o'clock service, we're going to start a war. They're going to boo. You're going to clap. It's going to be great. No, hey, representing for the gray hairs, I love it, right? Isn't that awesome? It just, you know, it goes to show, for those of you who are in this category and have been around for this 5.5-year run, I mean, you remember coming and you're looking around, you're like, man, there's nobody over 30, let alone over 50, and you just see what God's doing. Financially, it's been an interesting growth pattern for us. We've shown over the years, these are what we call giving units, which is like per attendance, how much percentage of the church actually gives on a weekly basis. The percentages play out to like a little over 6.5, a little over 8, and then a little over 8.5. Which is phenomenal because we've been able financially to do things we didn't think we'd be able to do. In fact, I'll show you this. This has been the growth over the years. We've got three categories you can see on the top as sort of proposed annual need. The middle is actual expenses and then actual tithe received. And here's what's fun is you'll notice every year we expected to receive X. We spent a little more because we've been in growth mode for 5 years. But you'll notice God has provided above and beyond at every turn, 04 and 05, 05, 06, 06, 07. It's like God sees exactly where we need to be. And I can remember literally a year ago, our elder group went away and we prayed and we set the budget and we thought, oh, Lord, I mean, that'll drive a brother to pray right there. And what God has done at every turn has gone above and beyond exactly what we need. The one thing I would encourage you, though, to consider if this is home is that the average giving percentage is like a little over 8.5. That means 8.5% of our church actually gives. So it might be something to consider. If you're a guest, you need to know we're much more concerned with your heart than your wallet. So honestly, if you're a guest among us, keep your wallet at home. You just show up. That'll be awesome for us. But if this is home, we need to consider what it means to be stewards. So that's last year. One of the things we did last year was we started talking about this concept of multi-site. Everybody freaked out, lost their mind, thought we went nuts. When we started thinking about what it would look like for us to be one church in multiple locations. Ultimately, I want to just give you a little bit of the genesis of that conversation as to why we had it to begin with. As you can see, we're pretty crowded here. Let's just imagine for a second that we rented this space, we did a 5 and a 7, and that's all we had. What's the answer? How do you grow? How do you allow for growth? Do you just say to people who come, hey, look, we'd love for you to come, but we're full, so you're going to have to like go somewhere else. I don't know about you, but I just don't think we could sleep at night with that. So multi-site started coming out. And what God had done is he'd kind of raised up this crowd in Kingsburg that was kind of growing, a bunch of people driving from K-Town. And so we started sort of praying about that, and we started looking at Susan B. saying, hey, would that be an option for us? And even the Cross Church Fellowship Hall, which would have been about a 200-person option, we just started looking at it. But what it did is expanded our sights beyond one campus. And in the process of that, started stirring some things. Like, well, what would it look like for us to have a service like across town? You know, maybe something to pull people to other areas. Is there any area in town that we might be able to go? Well, we did our little survey and found out that the bulk of the people in our church, like the number one zip code in our church, was 93720. We said, well, gosh, if we can have a place in 93720, we got a whole bunch of people coming from there already. And ultimately, this is much more about, God, where are you moving? Not where's the most strategic place we could plan a site. That's not how we operate. And so we said, well, God, 93720 would be awesome. And I got a call from Community Bible Church in 93720. They said, hey, what do you think? You know, and one thing led to another, and here we are. So our first step in multi-site has been the launching of a North Campus and a Fig Garden Campus. And here's what I'm really excited about is to tell you a little bit about the Fig Garden Campus team just for a moment, because many of you here are going to be Fig Garden Campus folks. And so just to give you a feel of who's on that team, Mike and the Fig team, could you guys come up here for a little bit? That'd be awesome. There's a couple things that are driving this move, okay? One is the obvious capacity issue. I would be lying if I told you that didn't influence our decision-making at all, okay? There's a capacity issue. But two, it's missional. Multi-site for us is about mission. It's about being able to launch campuses in neighborhoods. And instead of building a huge place and asking you to drive farther to go to church, which is way annoying, how about if we just start launching campuses in neighborhoods all across the city, if God's grace, all across the valley? So this is sort of a representation of our Fig Garden team. These are the pioneers. These are the folks who are saying, that's home. I was talking to Mike earlier. He said he had the perfect analogy for the Fig Garden campus. He said, it's like getting back together with an ex. And I said, really, how's that? He said, well, it's strangely familiar, yet new and exciting, you know? I thought that is so perfect. So here's the challenge for some of you. This is missional, which means if you live in Old Fig, don't come here. And if you live here, you don't need to go there. We're launching that campus over there to minister in that neighborhood. Some of you, though, feel a call in your heart. And you might live right next door, but you go, you know, God is calling me to the Fig campus. I say, go. It's the beauty of being one church in multiple locations, because we get to share the love at both places. So as you're over there kicking around and seeing people, these are the folks that are going to be making it happen, and we're going to have an incredible partnership together of one church in multiple locations. Thanks, guys, for coming up. Appreciate it. Thanks, buddy. Now, that being said, let me take the time to shift gears and talk about what's coming, okay? State of the Church is always for us a chance to say, this is what you can expect in the coming 12 months, if you will. In the area of connections, there's a couple things our connections team that will affect both campuses has done really, really well. First off, they've created a quick start guide, which sounds really lame until you've ever tried to program a VCR. It's the most frustrating thing you could ever do in your life until they pull out the quick start guide. And then it's like, here's 4 easy steps to getting that blinking light to quit blinking, okay? Quick Start Guide has been created for you, and there's some available at the table. For those of you who are kind of new to the well and you say, look, I just want to know what's my next step. Like, what does the process of connection look like for me? Some of you are coming tonight and you're feeling a bit like a stranger. You need to know, we welcome guests as family. So if you're here and you feel out of place, just know there's probably 200 people who feel just like you do tonight. But we want to make sure this can feel like home for you. This Quick Start Guide was created for just that. The other thing they've done is they focused on multiple campuses. So there's a full connections team that's going to be helping at the Fig Garden campus to help you get connected over there in the same way that you would here. One of the things we want to make sure we don't communicate, this is not a main campus. Because if you have a main campus, that means you have a not main campus. So you've got big brother and little brother. That's not the way it is. This is one church, multiple location. The beauty of multi-site is we're able to take the ministries that we'll be better at together and keep them at both. And the ones that we're better keeping at one campus, then we can separate. Connections will be part of both campuses. Regarding community, we've made a couple exciting changes. One, we have a theme for community that we want you to get used to. Real life change. That's the goal. If you were to say, if I get in a life group, what do you want me to experience? We would want everyone to be able to say, real life change. It has a lot of play to it, of course, real, that it's an authentic place where you do life together and can experience change. I mean, you could just kind of tease that out as much as you want. It's meant to be played with like that. That's what we want people to experience. There's three environments that we have, by the way, that we want to focus on: Sundays, small groups, and leadership development. This is the small group piece of our church. It's very, very important that you get a piece of. Now, here's something we started playing with, though. When you start talking about the issue of community, and churches are usually really, really good at helping people connect to Christ year one, right? That's kind of why we're here, right? You hear the gospel, you can come to Christ, that's great. Here's what happens, though. Year two, it seems like the church is a little bit less effective on helping you grow in your faith. You know, you're in a life group or some sort of study or a class or a whatever. In year three, you know, maybe a little less. In year four, a little less. By maybe year five, statistically speaking, you're kind of bored in churches. And so what ends up happening is churches' response to that is, well, we need to have more classes, better teachers, people with letters in front of their name that could, like, teach boat-up theology. That's what everybody needs year four and five. Well, the truth of the matter is that's not what very many of you are looking for, in fact. As you're raising your kids, you're really not concerned about what dispensationalism is. You know, as you're trying to, you know, teach your kid not to throw a tantrum in the middle of the Target, you know, you really don't care if it's old earth or young earth. It doesn't matter in that moment. What you really need to know is how to walk in the fruit of the Spirit day by day. As you're driving your car, to drive in a way that pleases God, which is probably difficult for all of us, especially with a parking situation out there. We need real life application. So here's one of the things we've done, is we've said we want to create a different growth curve, and the growth curve has to do far more with us learning to be self-feeders than anything. What ends up happening on a bad day is the church creates a paradigm of ministry where you are dependent upon the church for another something, another retreat, another Bible study, another class. We said, no, what we want to do is help you walk with God. Because, by the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, God has given you the same Bible that he's given those who call themselves pastor. He's given you the same opportunity to pray as the pastor. You can walk with God in the same way. I mean, it's a wonderful thing called the priesthood of all believers. So God really wants you to take responsibility for your spiritual life. So one of the things we're going to introduce is what's called a life journal. And a life journal is an opportunity for you to get through the Word of God in a year. So it's got a reading plan in it. You can modify it. So for those of you type A's, you can go, you know, start now, read it every day, be done in a year. For those of you who, you know, are like type A minus, then you could like read just the New Testament pieces if you want. I mean, you can modify it however you want. Here's the beauty of it, though, is we're all on the same page. My wife and I started a life journal several months ago, and it's been fascinating what it's done for my marriage. Because I'm like, man, I've been reading in, you know, Kings about that King Jeroboam. He's an idiot. And she goes, man, I know he is. You know, we start talking about it. Now we're having time in the Word, discussing the Word of God together, other than a, let me sit down and teach you about Jeroboam, you know? Thanks. I mean, that just doesn't excite, you know, most marriages. Yet, guys, if we're honest, our wives wouldn't mind something like that. Something where we would initiate and maybe lead, maybe, you know, be a part of some spiritual forming conversations with them. The life journals will create that. The other beauty is, if we're all going through it together, you're in one life group on a Thursday morning, another life group on a Wednesday night. You haven't multiplied your preparation at all. In fact, your preparation is to get in the Word of God every day. What a great thing. And then I'm going through it too, and the other communicators are. So I might say, man, I was reading yesterday in Jeremiah in my life journal, and you're elbowing your buddy going, man, I just read that too. I mean, just this sense of collaborative learning that can take place. So we're introducing Life Journals. They're available in the back. Jared's back there. Feel free to grab him. They're great stuff. They look like this. Of course, you see a much bigger picture on the screen, so why do I have this up here? So that's coming. All right, equipping. Here's one of the things we've done with equipping. We've just sort of listened, put the ear to the street a little bit. Chances are there's not many of you in here who are thinking, man, I've just got so much discretionary time. I wish I could just fill up all of my free evenings with stuff to do. But for the most part, we're really busy. And yet we've asked you to get involved and serve. But yet you won't feel confident serving if you haven't been trained. Well, so now we want you to serve, which means go to this training. And if you're a part of multiple teams or multiple expressions or even just on a team with a life group, we're now asking for multiple nights. We said, this is madness. We need to do it all in one place. So we created something called the Guild. The Guild is a one-stop equipping shop, if you will. It's a leadership development environment designed for all of our training to take place. So our nursery folks are going to do their training at the Guild, which, by the way, will have childcare. Isn't that nice? Our First Touch will do their training at the Guild. Our life group leaders will do their training at the Guild. So literally, our church, four times a year, in September, November, February, and April, will gather together for the purpose of equipping so that you can grow in certain areas. It'll be like a conference, plenary session, breakout sessions, some team-specific stuff, some general leadership stuff. It's really, really good, high-quality stuff four times a year so that we're not whipping you to death with a bunch of little auxiliary stuff along the side. All right? Now, missions. Missionally, there's a lot going on. One of the things we want to do this year is we want to create a faith-based missional nonprofit. We recognize because we are a church, the whole church and state thing, everybody's paranoid. You can't get government funding for nothing, even though grants are out there by the thousands, if not millions, if not a number bigger than that. There's a lot out there, all right? But as a church, there's just certain things you can get. But if we start a missional nonprofit, a faith-based nonprofit, we now open ourselves to the access to literally resources that are out there that we can now apply for. And it'll help us do things like buy a Target neighborhood house. We want to buy a house in the Target neighborhood. We've talked to some investors. They're excited about the process. Artie's done a great job of beginning to craft kind of what that would look like. Tim's going to work with Artie to make sure that we dial that thing in. But we want to buy a house so that we can have sort of an incarnational expression in that neighborhood, doing some mentoring, some tutoring right there, where the kids have a safe place to go play, go hang out, go be kids, and yet learn, and in that, hear the Word of God. We're limited with what we can say on the school campuses, but in the neighborhood, we've got free rein to be who God's called us to be. So we'd like to do that. The other thing we want to launch is what we're calling a campus-to-campus concept. Every multi-site that we launch will have an elementary school that campus partners with. So the Fig Garden campus is partnering with Susan B. Anthony. The North campus is going to partner with a school. We're praying about which one. Artie's laid out a list for us. Hidalgo, Lowell, Yadomi, Ayers, Jefferson, or Mayfair are the ones that he's praying about right now and going to go see where our next step needs to be. And what we want to do is allow the Fig Garden campus to set the pace missionally in terms of setting out the framework of what this campus is going to do at another elementary school. And then if we launch another site to another elementary school. So that over the years, we are literally helping as many elementary schools as God would give us favor to, catching those kids in the areas of education before it's too late. So those are some of the things we'd like to do locally in missions this next year. Now, we've also have the opportunity of doing something globally. We are going to launch our first extended family member. And so what I'd like to do is bring up our first extended family that we ever get to launch, Holly Cannon. Holly, where are you? There she is. There she is. This is my friend Holly. Holly's been a part of our body now for several years. Many of you have had the privilege of being in little teas that Holly has done, sort of communicating her vision of where she's going and what God has done in her life. Bottom line is she's heading over to the Middle East to serve Christ, to love on the people there, to show them Christ, and to develop relationships with the Muslim community and just be a light there for the Lord. And We say Middle East. I mean, she's going to a very interesting place. And as you can see, she doesn't have a ton of Middle Eastern descent in her. And so this is a missional expression for her. And we are sending her. She is family and will be family. And I'm happy to tell you that we, Tim and I, are going to come and visit you here next year. And she's going, this is a life commitment. This isn't like, hey, I'm going for 3 weeks and I'll take pictures and put them on my blog. I mean, this is like, she's gone over there. And so we're going to send her. These are our elders. This is Rob Hansen, Bob Corey, and Russ Taylor. And so we're in the scriptures, what you see when a missionary goes out, or what we call extended family, the elders of the church lay hands on her and just commission her to go, or he or her to go. And so that's what we're going to do. So I'd love for you to bow with me in a word of prayer. We're going to lay hands on her and just kind of ask for God's grace as she goes. Father, we thank you for Holly. We thank you for her heart for you, that she loves you, that she has wrestled with this call for years. And Father, as you've brought these things to fruition, as you've developed all these plans, and as you've opened up these doors, we want her to know that she is loved by this family, that we send her out as an extension of the ministry that you've given us here, that you would send her with your grace and with our blessing, that Father, she is faithful to your gospel, she's faithful to you, and as she goes, your Bible promises that you will be with her always, even to the ends of the earth. And so, Father, as she goes to a distant land, may she go in the love and grace of God, bringing the news of Christ to a world in desperate need of it. And so, Father, we thank you for her. We commission her as elders of this body and as a church family together. We commission her out in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give her a hand. Awesome. She is. Love you. Thanks, buddy. Holly will have some information available either here tonight, or if you'd like to get on her her update list and prayer list and stuff, she's got a whole contact crew of people that are going to be relaying information out. So just check to the info booth there, which is on the entryway, and they can get you what you need there. A couple things, too, regarding children and students. Regarding our Kids Connection, as you can see, we've kind of renovated the east part of our building for Kids Connection stuff. Here's a couple things that you can be expecting here in the weeks to come. One is age-specific learning. The big room that's just adjacent to the hallway is going to be our two-year-old class. What we would like to do is get to the point where we have age-specific learning for each age, meaning two-year-olds, not like two-, three-, and four-year-olds. Because for those of you who are in education, you know the most difficult year is your first year as you're putting together a lesson plan. Well, if you have two-, three-, and four-year-olds, you've got three first years because you don't want to recycle stuff. And so what we want to do is get specific. Two-year-olds is where we're going to start. It's going to be theme-based eventually, so that'll be called Creation Station, where they learn that God made them special. Is there anything, you know, anything else as parents that would tickle your heart more than for your kid to come home knowing that God made them special? That's kind of where that's heading. And so age-specific learning. The other thing is multiple campuses. Again, both campuses will have high-quality Kids Connection ministry. Mary Van Allsburg sort of driving the ship here, and then Cindy Hefner at the Fig Garden campus. Cindy and Mary are working very closely to make sure that the curriculums are as close as we can get them. The nuance is facility dictates a lot of the curriculum because you can't, you know, if you have a massive room, then you can, you know, have more kids. If you have small rooms, you know, you've got to adjust. So they're going to work really closely together. The other thing we're doing is we're going to research a preschool. We just see a huge need for preschool, and so we're going to research what that would look like. That's a passion for Cindy, our Fig Garden Kids Connection director, and so we're going to begin to research what that would look like to have a preschool here. And then we're going to move to automated check-in stuff. So in the future, as you come both here into the Fig Garden campus, there'll be a computer out there. You'll register your child. It'll print out a ticket that's randomly generated for you and for your child to increase safety and the flow of traffic as we get our kids into their rooms. Those things are common. And then for students, this facility gives us opportunity for students that we've never had before, and I just wanted to highlight a couple of things. Right off the bat, the first thing that I want to make sure we all get our hands around is that we are opening both middle school and high school rooms, which we've never had before. Very excited. And so Jeff Bachman, our student pastor, has done a great job of getting them ready. The junior high room is directly kind of behind me to my right over here. The high school room's across the hall, and it is blacked out for now. He's going to ta-da grand open it at a later date, but it's under construction right now. But the junior high room's available. I think there's some Red Bull in the freezer or fridge in there, rather, so help yourself to that. There's been a lot of questions, too, about midweek stuff, so I wanted to make sure, parents, that you got this on your calendars. We will begin midweek services for both middle school and high school students starting September 12th, okay? September 12th. The middle school will be from 6 to 8, and the high school from 7 to 9, same night, Wednesday night, starting September 12th. So get that on your calendar. We're very excited about that. And then regarding Sundays, there will be middle school gatherings at every service, both at the North Campus as well as the Fig Garden Campus. So at 6 o'clock over there next week, your middle schooler will have a place to gather with peers. And at the 10, 5, and 7 here, your middle schooler will meet. We don't have anything for high schoolers on a Sunday because we're hoping we're not putting them to sleep yet in the sanctuary. So the idea is that high schoolers can come and engage in worship with us. Middle schoolers will be in the separate rooms. Now, what's typical with us is at State of the Church, we have some sort of like one more thing, and somebody lights themselves on fire, and everybody panics. And I hate to disappoint, but we don't have any more. In fact, the reality is what you've seen is what you're going to get. This year for us is going to be a stripped-down focus, focus on health and allow for growth. That's our theme for this year, focus on health and allow for growth. We don't have any next steps other than making darn sure that two campuses go well, all right? So as you're praying for us, one of the things you could pray for is that we'd focus on health. This doesn't do us any good if we're not healthy as individuals, if we're not walking with God, if we've got sin issues in our life. We can't reach out to our neighbors, share Christ with the person who made our coffee. We've got to focus on health. And then in that, we've got to allow for growth. We were talking a little bit as a staff, just kind of bantering back and forth. And I said to Mary, our Kids Connection director, I said, hey, Mary, I said, how long do you think it's going to take before we have to go from one service in the morning till two services? And she says, 2 months. 2 months. And I said, I think you're crazy, but that's why I like you, you know? And I was walking by the rooms today. She said, you know, I said 2 months. I said, yeah. She said, 2 weeks. So we are really hoping that by God's grace, we'll continue to grow. Somebody asked us the other day where our marketing, what our marketing strategy was. I said, our what? We don't have one. You know what the beauty of our marketing strategy is? Walk with God. And as you walk with God and tell your friends and they see your life and they say, hey, what is it about you? And you say, hey, it's about this Jesus guy. By the way, I've got this church, and they're honest, and they're not perfect, but they'll bring it. And in that, you'll hear who God is. That's our marketing strategy. So here's the beauty of it. We want to be the church. And I hope in the weeks and months to come that you get a sense that God is doing something magnificent among us as one church in multiple locations. Let me pray for us, and we'll be done here this evening. Father, it is good to be here and to thank you for your faithfulness. So many passages in your word call us to be grateful and thankful. I was just reading this morning in my life journal, Psalm 105 calls us to be faithful, and to be thankful for the history of all that you've done, of what you did through Moses and what you did with Abraham in the early days and what you did through the men and women who gave their lives completely to you. And Father, we thank you because you're doing something in our day. And so as we're a small part of the bigger picture, would you be pleased in us and with us? And as we do our best to help people connect to God and to each other all over this community, would you be honored? Thank you for the night tonight. As we prepare for next week to get back in the saddle and the Word of God, to get back into a normal rhythm, we pray that you would be faithful to carry us all along the way. We'll pray this in Christ's name. Amen.